Hello and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hi, this is Pastor Dave Watson. I want to thank you for listening to God in Our City. Many of you call us for prayer, call us for a free CD, or just call to thank us for our ministry. Today, I need your help. God in Our City is a locally sponsored ministry. Our church, Calvary Chapel, is doing its part to make this God in Our City broadcast possible. I need many of you to partner with us so that God in Our City can continue to be a blessing to you and so many others who listen. Please consider making a financial contribution to the ministry of God in Our City. You can do so by calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or by going to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org, and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where there's a contribution opportunity. For every gift of $50 or more, I want to send you the 5-set DVD of this series that we're just finishing called Living Out, How to Apply the Bible in Our Everyday Life. By making a contribution, you are investing in the kingdom of God right here in New York City. You're helping us make a difference. So please be a difference maker. Please prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us today. Now, back to the broadcast.
Second. So I need everyone to do me a favor. Can everyone do me a favor? You have a smartphone. You may not be smart, but you have a smartphone. Take out your smartphone right now, and I need you to text somebody who's not here today, maybe a friend, and say, you're about to, Dr. Mitch Glazer is about to speak at my church. 5:70 a.m. the mission. You can hear him live. So I don't know how, you'll have to make that shorter and somehow text it a little bit better than that. But text someone who's not here, invite them to tune in live. Because all they have to do is turn their radio on, maybe they're in the car, so they can look at the text in the car, have an accident, we'll all get blamed for that. But he's on the radio live in just a couple of minutes. He's going to be speaking. Send it to a text to a friend. You can do that, right? That's just a healthy thing to do, and it's a blessing for them, and it's a blessing for you. Couple other things. I see Talani is here. Where's Talani gone to? Talani is here. We miss her. She's home from college. Are you going to go back to college? Oh, that's a shame. Do you really have to do that? So glad she's home from college. We miss her so much. I haven't gotten any texts from the boys, so you're not dating anybody, right? So you have them talk to me first. You know what I'm saying? And we have a very special guest, all the way from the Philippines, making his first appearance today. This is Nina's son, Dr. Al's stepson. This is Josh. In your honor, at the church dinner next Sunday, Big Pig with like an apple in it, right in the middle, and all. Well, we've goofed on around enough. I want to say thank you to the young men and young women of our church. They came out. They helped us shovel everything on Tuesday. The reason why your walkway is you can make it through. Young men and young women did that. I had to buy them lunch. So they're all bigger men and women for doing that, but we're grateful for that. And then yesterday, or Friday night, the sanitation department evidently, it doesn't work in Mariner's Harbor. They took the weekend off. I don't know. We'll have to talk to de Blasio about that. But Sam and Mark Seffick came and made sure everything was clear. So the reason why you and the rest of the neighbors can park is not because the Department of Sanitation came. Nothing against the Department of Sanitation. They take their orders from other people. But our folks made it happen. So we're grateful, very grateful for that. So we're going to admit, did you text somebody? All right, text somebody else. Let's get this rolling here. In a minute, Dr. Glazer is going to speak to us, but we're going to sing a few more songs. Are you ready for the worship team to lead us again into the presence of God? Amen. So, Jay, you want them standing or sitting?
Stand.
Stand. It's like aerobics here. Everybody stand. If we were Episcopalian, it would really be aerobics because you got the kneeling bench. All right, take it away, Jay.
With us, we've waited for this day. We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're we
Keep your head bowed for a second in a moment of prayer. Right now, would you remember our city in your prayers? Pray for our mayor, our police commissioner, fire commissioner, our first responders in blue and red. Pray for the family of the female officer who just died on Friday, unexpectedly at work, on the job. Pray for her family. Would you pray for our borough? Would you pray for God's solution for the addiction crisis that we face? Would you pray for our nation today? Pray for our president and those in authority. Pray that they will make decisions that please our God.
Yes.
Will you pray for the peace of Jerusalem today?
Yes.
Pray for the Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, Knesset. Pray for Israel's safety in the midst of those who would do it wrong. Will you ask God right now to speak to your heart? Not anyone else's heart, but your heart. And will you say, God, whatever you say to me, I'll do it. I'll do it. Lord, speak to us today. Speak for your servants here. Amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, we are very privileged to have with us today a friend of our ministry. I have had the joy of knowing Dr. Glazer for really almost all my time in New York. For a while, he was with a different ministry to the Jews, and then made a very, very courageous decision. He wanted to stay in New York, and so really left a major organization to start a smaller organization or to assume the role of a director of a small organization. God rewarded him for his heart for our city and for the Jewish people. And God made him the director of Chosen People Ministries. And at the time, Chosen People Ministries wasn't any longer centered in New York.
That's right.
And Dr. Glazer said gently to the people that need to be, well, the most Jews living in America don't live in Charlotte. They live in Brooklyn. So Chosen People Ministries moved back, one of the few ministries that's stayed in New York. American Bible Society, gone. New York Bible Society, gone. We could go on and on. But Chosen People Ministries is here, and they're making a difference not just here and around the world. For his 20 years of running this ministry, Chosen People Ministry, he's expanded it. It's because he has just the right heart for the Jewish people as well as all people that they might know Christ. So I want to just give him a warm, warm Calvary welcome, our good friend, Dr. Mitch Glazer.
Thank you, Pastor David. Shalom. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to be back at Calvary, and usually I'm schlepping all over the place, but it's really nice to just schlep to Staten Island. And I'll teach you a little more Yiddish as the day goes by. You'll be able to talk to your Orthodox Jewish friends. I know that a lot of you, I think we're getting a little feedback, I know that a lot of you or most of you have Jewish friends, am I right? Neighbors, workmates, this is New York City. And so I'd like to share with you the importance and urgency of Jewish evangelism. And I think it's good every once in a while, I know that's why Pastor David has me in, to remind you of this important group of Jewish people that are scattered all over Staten Island and this region. Now, of course, most Jewish people who live in Staten Island are in exile from Brooklyn. You know that. Yeah, some have crossed the bridge from Jersey, but very few. Yeah. And so I still live in the Holy Land, Brooklyn. But we're praising God for the good opportunities we actually have on Staten Island. I know many of you listening also on the radio have Jewish friends and family. And so this morning, I just want to open up what Paul said and talk about it a little bit, about the gospel being to the Jew first. Very important passage. So if you have your Bibles, open to Romans 1:16. And before we start, I want to make two points clear. Number one, and I think we're still getting just a little touch of feedback, if we can do it. So number one, understand what I'm saying, that there is no other way given among men whereby we must be saved except by accepting, receiving Yeshua as Messiah. That's a loose translation of Acts 4:12. In John chapter 14, verse 6, when a bunch of Jewish people were up in Jerusalem and they were speaking to Jesus, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, Jew or Gentile, comes to the Father but through me." And so he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I don't want you in any way, when I speak ultimately about the what God has in store for Israel as a nation, I don't want you to confuse that and to in some way think that I'm suggesting that individual Jewish people can get to heaven in any other way than by receiving Jesus as Lord, Savior, and Messiah. So that's number one. And really, that's really the most important thing. And secondly, I want to make sure that you understand that when I speak about God's plan for Israel, that I am not, so to speak, raising the Jewish people above other people in terms of importance. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, isn't it? So all we're going to be speaking about is what Paul understood as God's plan, and I think it's life-changing when you really understand it. There's a great story of a wonderful missionary to the Chinese, Hudson Taylor. You ever hear of him? Of course, most of us have. He founded the China Inland Mission. So Hudson Taylor, of course, was British, lived in the UK, and China Inland Mission was operating out of the East End of London, and there was a lot of Jewish people in the East End of London at that time. And there was another mission to the Jews run by a Gentile by the name of John Wilkinson. And John Wilkinson was a great missionary to the Jewish people, and he was friends with Hudson Taylor. And so the story goes like this. Every year in January, J. Hudson Taylor would send a £5 check to John Wilkinson, who ran the Mildmay mission to the Jews. And on the check, Taylor would write, "To the Jew first." And then the next day, Wilkinson would send a £5 check to the China Inland Mission. And on it would say, "And also to the Gentiles." So in no way am I suggesting that Jewish people can be saved outside of Jesus, and I'm not suggesting that Jewish people in some way or another are better or superior. By the way, that can work two different ways when you're talking about evangelism, because it's not that Jewish people are more privileged, therefore they need to hear the gospel, and it's not that Jewish people are any worse than anybody else and therefore need the gospel desperately, which in times in the past was argued by anti-Semites, believe it or not. And so we don't want to go in that direction. Besides, one of the areas for deep prayer for all of us is, I don't know about you, but we need to be really concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism in America and in the West. And prejudice is always bad, but when you single out a certain group of people, it's even worse. But there are a lot of spiritual reasons for why anti-Semitism is really bad. And it really has its source in the pit of hell. And I think that will be clear as we go through the Word. So we're going to take a good look at Romans 1, verse 16. And I know we're just pulling out one verse, but we don't have a lot of time. I highly suggest you read the whole book of Romans, 16 action-packed chapters of great stuff. Okay? But we're only going to look at the one passage. So Paul writes, and remember, Paul was a rabbi. You all remember that. You know, when I first got saved at 19 years of age, and I read the New Testament for the first time, I was reading from St. Paul, and it didn't sound like a very Jewish name. But indeed, Paul was a rabbi, well-trained, and sent as the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, that's confusing from the start, isn't it? Why would God take the most qualified Jewish guy, send him to the Gentiles, and take a fisherman and make him the apostle to the Jews, Peter? Well, there are a lot of reasons for it, and maybe we'll even talk about it in a moment. So here's what Paul writes. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So let's unpack that just for a moment, then we'll talk about it. We want to let the scriptures come first in what we talk about, right? Okay. So I was brung up in the New York City school system, and I sometimes tell people that I learned English as my second language. And I was in all of these creative writing classes in English, but as far as I knew, everybody was in these creative writing. I think that nobody wanted to teach grammar, honestly. And so I didn't really learn a whole lot about grammar till I had already become a believer and then was in Bible college when I started learning Greek. And I don't know about some of you, but I just did not learn grammar. And I knew what a noun was, but that was about it. And so the grammar here is very, very important in understanding it. We believe the whole Bible was inspired, right? Every word, even the grammar? Absolutely. Absolutely. Without error. And so Paul writes in the present tense, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. That means that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Day in, day out. It does not mean that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. It meant that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And there's a lot of pressure on us, particularly living in New York City. It's not exactly the buckle on the Bible belt. You know what I mean? And I visit the buckle on the Bible belt where it's culturally acceptable to be a Christian. Everybody cheers when you become a devoted Christian. You know, I don't know about you, but in your Italian Catholic home, what do? Throw a party? In the Jewish homes, what do? It's not exactly, we throw a funeral, not a party. When I told my grandparents, who escaped from Minsk prior to the Holocaust and moved to Brooklyn, when I told them that I had become a follower of Jesus, it took me a few years to tell them, my dear, precious grandparents that I love dearly never spoke to me again, ever. Ever. Why? Because they didn't like Jesus? No. Because they didn't like authentic, born-again, evangelical, whatever, Christians like you? No. No. It's because their image of Christianity was formed in Eastern Europe, and all you have to do is watch Fiddler on the Roof to see what their view of Christianity was. The Cossacks were Christians. They came in, they murdered the Jews, plundered the cities, raped the women, and all the Jews had to move to Brighton Beach. So my grandparents' view of Christianity was of something that was hostile to the Jewish people. So, and my mother was not far behind. My father was not far behind. And a lot of your Jewish friends are not far behind in their understanding that in their mind, Christianity is hostile to the Jewish people, which is why anti-Semitism is so satanic and nefarious. Because if the devil can keep the Jews from believing in Jesus and make Jews think that Christians are anti-Semitic and therefore they would never believe in Jesus, then the devil has done a very good job, and he's trying to prevent something that we're going to talk about in a moment. And so, even though I gave my life to Jesus and there was nothing that I would hold back from the Lord when I came to faith, still, when I then faced my family and faced my friends and faced my grandparents, it would have been pretty easy to put my light, you know, hide it away under a bushel because there was so much opposition. It's not exactly like you get applause. Paul understood that, didn't he? He was persecuted. He was a persecutor who was then persecuted. So if anybody should have understood it, he understood it. But he said, I am not ashamed. Come what may, whatever you want to think of me, make fun of me because I made those little ethical decisions that everybody doesn't make at work or at school or in the neighborhood. I don't cheat on my taxes. You know, go ahead. Call me dumb. Call me naive. Call me not Jewish, which is often. No matter what, it doesn't matter to me because Jesus is everything. Therefore, everything is secondary, right? This church is unashamed. I've known him for as long as he's known me, Pastor David. Makes sense, doesn't it? They were thinking about that for a moment. But he's been unashamed, and therefore you're like your spiritual older brother or father for some of you. You are an unashamed church in the middle of Staten Island lifting up the banner of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we are unashamed. But again, it's in the present tense. When you leave church today, you're still not ashamed. And I'm not ashamed because Jesus is everything. That's why. So we know that it's in the present tense. It's something we live out each day. And then Paul says, it is the power of God for salvation. I love that. You know, the Greek word there is dunamis, which we get dynamite from. And it gives the right image, I think. Because the gospel is all about the power to transform lives. I was with a young guy the other day, and he didn't know what happened to him. Had no idea what happened to him. He was brought up in a believing home, totally rejected it, and he was going through something, and all of a sudden, he almost felt like Jesus was sitting down with him and saying, it's time. And he said, I don't know what happened. I experienced the presence of God. And in one moment, my whole life changed. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing this. I stopped everything. And all I wanted to do, I didn't even want to go to work. I just wanted to read my Bible and pray. He said, I was so hungry for God, I couldn't think about anything else. And he had godly parents praying for over 3 decades. And you know what? The gospel is so powerful that in one nanosecond, it can transform your entire life and the life of your family and everybody around you. It happened to me. I was on a radio show the other day in Minneapolis about drug recovery. And usually I'm only on the Jewish shows, you know, who want to talk about Jewish stuff. But I am someone who was, you've heard my testimony before. When I went to college, I majored in unregistered pharmacy and minored in marketing. You'll get it later. But I mean, for as long as I was in college, which was not very long. And so I was in, I was out. Anybody here make the two-year SP? You know? Some of you? My gosh, we put out so many 17-year-olds into colleges who just blew out immediately. And I was one of them. And so I went out to California, which is where every Jewish hippie went at that time, with my friend Ephraim Goldstein, Italian, right? And so we went out, and we both met the Lord. But I had not done drugs since I was 14 till I was 19. And that was a big part of my life. And sometimes I tried to stop and couldn't stop and gave up stopping and so on. I want you to know that I accepted Jesus, woke up the next morning, and this doesn't happen to everybody, but it needed to happen to me. And I never touched a drug again. In fact, I was repulsed by drugs. Still am. And I was just in Colorado. You can, like, get it for free if you want. You want to go skiing, David? Funny thing is, you've got a bunch of non-drug people who went to law school and are in politics, who were clean livers, who are now making decisions for everybody, and they're saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with marijuana, it can't hurt you. Really? Really? You really want people driving on the road with you who just smoke marijuana? Oh, we haven't even begun to see the fallout on this one. You know, these guys are crazy. But I needed to be delivered, even from marijuana, which wasn't so harmful. Really? It's very harmful. God took it away. You know why? Because the gospel is power. The gospel transforms. You'll never be the same when you accept Jesus as your Savior. And you will start doing things you never thought were humanly possible, because they're not. They're only possible in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Spirit of God indwelling you, then you have His power. But it's not that Paul says the gospel was the power. It is the power. You walk out this door again, you're not only unashamed, you have the power of the gospel in your soul. And when you proclaim the gospel, you know that the Holy Spirit is your partner in evangelism. And when you preach, He's in other people's hearts, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We're never alone in evangelism. Remember that. Sometimes we preach like we think it's up to us. Amen. It's His work. Amen. Power. And then He says, to everyone who believes, the good news is the gospel's for everybody. When Jesus rose from the dead and He had that 40-day Bible Institute, that's the one I want. I'm sure yours is great, David, but this one would have been good. The Post-Resurrection Bible Institute. Did you know that? That was the name of it. Actually, it's the Post-Resurrection Messianic Bible Institute, because they were mostly Jewish believers. Okay, and so Jesus taught a whole bunch of things, but right before He ascended, He said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You remember that? And now, go and make disciples of the rest of the Jewish people, right? No. No. Make disciples of all the nations. Before He died, the gospel was just going to the Jewish people first. I think that was God's way of giving the Jewish people a good shot at it. But after He died and He crushed death through the resurrection, and then He appeared to the disciples, He changed the marching orders. He said, what I came to do is different than what you are going to do. So here's the shift. Go to everybody. The gospel, which is power, which transforms lives, is for everybody. Everybody. And it's not just everybody back then. It's everybody now. And you remember, Jesus Himself made a little change. God can change. It's not that God's character changes. But we have a God who has a plan for today and a plan for tomorrow. It's good. And then he goes on and he says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, what I read, I read a lot of commentaries, sometimes because they're really helpful, sometimes they're fun. Because, and I just read, actually just the other day, I was reading through a bunch of commentaries, and it's amazing how all the passages of Scripture you really need commentaries on that everybody doesn't talk about in the commentary. They all pick the easy verses. And so there's not a lot on this one. So what does Paul mean that the gospel is to the Jew first? Well, it doesn't mean, probably, that when you leave this church, you need to go out and preach the gospel to the Jews first, and when you're done with them, go to the Gentiles. It probably does not mean that the gospel was presented to the Jews first, they rejected it, therefore don't go to the Jews anymore, just go to the Gentiles. I don't think that's what he means either. And the reason why I know that's not what he means is because in every city, in every missionary journey Paul ever went on, the first group of people he went and preached to were the Jews. Paul practiced what he preached. So what does he mean by this? It all hinges on the little Greek word proton, which means first. But you can take one of two major views on the use of the word first. Number one, it can be consecutive, or first this, second that, third that. Okay, that's sequential, right? The other view you can have is a priority view, which means that it is first in that it is prominent, preeminent, all-encompassing, but it's not first and second. So in other words, if the gospel is to the Jew first, it doesn't mean you shouldn't reach Gentiles first. It just means that somehow reaching Jewish people for Jesus should be some type of priority in your heart and life. That's all. Jesus, in Matthew 6:33, uses the term proton. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When do we ever stop seeking the kingdom of God? We never stop seeking the kingdom of God. We seek the kingdom of God even if we're looking for a job, even if we're looking for a school, even if we're looking for a husband, even if we're looking for a wife, not looking for a new church. But no matter what we're looking for, no matter what we're looking for, we always have the kingdom of God in front of us. And that's what Paul meant. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whoever God calls you to reach specifically, it might be some racial group, it might be some age group, it might be some geographic group, it might be, who knows who it's going to be. God equips and gifts us for different things so that the whole world gets to hear, right? God is a creative God when it comes to evangelism. And so, wherever you go, whatever you do, he knows not everybody's going to join Chosen People Ministries. But some of you might want to. But he knows that the Jewish people must be a priority. And I'll tell you why. Because God is not finished with the Jewish people yet. There's a future for Israel and the Jewish people that you and I, but especially you, if you're a Gentile, have a role to play in the end time wrap-up of planet Earth. And so that role is to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, I'll just quote verse 3. He said, through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Shall be blessed. What did he mean by that? Well, number one, the Bible's written by Jewish people, right? When I first got saved, I knew the old one was written by Jews. It took me a while to realize the new part was Jewish too. Except I know David's teaching Luke. And do you teach that Luke was a Gentile? Okay. How many of you really agree with your pastor that Luke's a Gentile? Okay. All right, I'm going to give you a counter to it. Sorry, David. What did he do for a living? He was a doctor. Okay. Think that one through. You got that? Okay. You might change your mind on that. But at least the majority of the writers were Jewish. God blessed the world through the Jewish people with the Bible. God blessed the world through the Jewish people with the Messiah in his first coming. And God's going to bless the world with the Messiah in his second coming. Because when the Jewish people turn to Jesus, Jesus returns and he sets up his kingdom not in Brooklyn. He sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem. He sits on the throne of David. And all the literal promises that came through the prophets, which so many people spiritualize, will actually come to pass. Now, I believe those brothers and sisters will be with me in the kingdom, and I can't wait to see their faces. Oh, that was a literal throne, huh? We're eating falafel, not spiritual food. All right, that's a joke. And in Romans chapter 11, Paul just puts it all together. So the same rabbi who wrote 1:16 wrote chapter 11. Look at what he says in verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation. A partial hardening has happened to Israel. It's good that it was partial, or else I wouldn't be here. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Do you realize Gentile evangelism is on the clock? We act like we have all the time in the world. We don't. We do not. It's time to reach the Gentiles. Now, you heard it from a missionary to the Jews. It's time to reach the world. So, till the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and thus all Israel, parenthesis, who are alive at the time, thus all Israel will be saved. There's a link between the second coming of Christ and the salvation of Israel. Look at verse 12 of Romans 11. If their transgression is riches for the world, their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be? Verse 15, if their rejection be the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And then you drop back to verse 11. Paul writes, I say then they did not stumble so as to fall out of God's plan, did they? May it never be, but by their transgression, salvation has come to who? I will bless those who bless thee, curse those who curse thee. Through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Salvation has come to the Gentiles, and that's the end of the verse, right? Not quite. Paul says to make them jealous. It is the Gentile mandate for Jewish evangelism. In light of what God is going to do, make Jewish evangelism a priority of heart and soul. Because as you make Jewish people jealous, one day that number will be sufficient. And the Jewish people will turn as a nation and repent and accept Jesus. And it might be one of the people who do that might be your neighbor or your Jewish friend. And when that happens, then Jesus returns. That's why it's to the Jew first. To help you with that, two things. Number one, the Chosen People website is extremely helpful. www.chosenpeople.com. Really, really helpful. Lots of great information. Second website I think you'll love, ifoundshalom.com. Almost 70 wonderful testimonies of messianic.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Dave Watson again. I want to thank you for listening to God in Our City. Many of you call us for prayer, call us for a free CD, or just call to thank us for our ministry. Today, I need your help. God in Our City is a locally sponsored ministry. Our church, Calvary Chapel, is doing its part to make this God in Our City broadcast possible. I need many of you to partner with us so that God in Our City can continue to be a blessing to you and so many others who listen. Please consider making a financial contribution to the ministry of God in Our City. You can do so by calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or by going to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org, and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where there's a contribution opportunity. For every gift of $50 or more, I want to send you the 5-set DVD of this series that we're just finishing called Living Out, How to Apply the Bible in Our Everyday Life. By making a contribution, you are investing in the kingdom of God right here in New York City. You are helping us to make a difference. Please prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us today and making a difference. This is Pastor Dave Watson. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you. Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and I'm here with Chaplain Joe Aguilar. Chaplain Joe runs our Spanish ministry at Calvary Chapel. Chaplain Joe, tell us a little bit about the Spanish ministry at our church.
Well, thanks, Pastor Dave. The name of our ministry is, in Spanish, Comunión Latina en Calvary, which is Calvary Fellowship for the Spanish Community. And we meet every first Sunday of the month at 2 p.m., and everything is in Spanish. So we are an extended Calvary Chapel ministry showing God's love to our Spanish community.
Is there anything special that you guys are doing coming up?
Besides meeting every first Sunday of the month at 2 p.m., on April, we will be having two services. Our regular service, April 2nd, which is the first Sunday, and then our Easter celebration, April 16th at 2 p.m.
And all services are held at 30 Maple Parkway at Calvary Chapel, Staten Island, New York, 10303. What's the phone number folks should call if they want more information?
Call me at 347-772-4598.
What's that number again?
347-772-4598.
So if you have a Spanish friend, or if you are a Latino yourself, please join us at Calvary Chapel. We have a very, very special place in our heart for you and a service just for you and your family. God bless you and have a great day.
Les esperamos.